And Kim Bates, I want to bring you into this conversation because I doubt that there are very many instances where you feel like it's an improvement to not be able to be in the same room with a second grader. It's so, you were pointing that out before, it's so hands-on. What kind of support do you feel like you're getting from the district and from your union? Because you're the union rep for the teachers, right?
I'm a rights on the rights committee, right. The teachers'
so
rights committee,
I guess
yes.
My question really for you is, how are you giving the support as someone who's working through the union?
Starting in the classroom side of it, and I think that a lot of kudos go to my administrators for providing, for listening to the primary teachers say, this is what would work best for primary kiddos. We have a platform where it's so intuitive for kids to video themselves and send me messages, or audio send me a message, and for me to do the same back to them. And so it's not uncommon for me and at, you know, 6 at night to get a video from one of my students saying, hey, Mrs. Bates, look what I just did, or I'm reading this awesome book. And they're able to click a little video of themselves and send that to me. And so having that ability, that platform for kids to be able to reach out to me whenever they need to, or for me to reach out to them, has been very positive. And so that support from my administrators to listen to the primary teachers and say, this is what we need so that we can stay connected with our kiddos and our families, and then finding the funds to make that happen. So I appreciate that. I also appreciate the fact that in my building, our administrators are very aware of the emotional toll this is taking on us as professionals. I mean, it's hard to sit in a classroom every day, because I didn't telework. I went to work every day. I go to work every day and sit in a room with empty desks, empty chairs. And that's hard to do day after day. And I'm, you know, on the screen trying to communicate, but then you see those desks and it always is a little piece of your mind. It's like, oh, I wish they were here. So my administrators have been very aware of that, and they've put together a lot of different opportunities, keeping the protocols in mind so that we can get together as a staff and do things outside, or, you know, in small groups, to keep that positivity and that feeling of community and working with one another, because we feed off of one another. And so being able to do that and being grateful for what we have and what we are doing and supporting one another has been good at my building. I know that's not true on all buildings, but our building has been, our ministers have been very good about that. And as an association, I feel like both David and Ann have done a really great job letting the district know that they need to listen to more than a couple voices, that they need to allow us to participate in the discussions and the decisions. And I think they've done a good job of providing opportunities for people to speak up and support people and members when they have concerns and issues, and kind of help guide them on how to get their concerns and issues to the right district office people, or even going on behalf of them and fairly representing all the members as a whole, because we have members that are on both sides of these issues, just like everybody in the United States has a side or has an opinion about it. And so I feel like our association has done a good job providing opportunities and representing the members in that area.
Thanks. And Kyle Schneider, stand by. I want to ask you the same question about what kind of support, technical, practical, and moral, are you getting from your union and from your district? But it occurred to me when Kim and Winter were speaking that I had spoken to a teacher early in all of this who said that, especially when everyone was, or almost everyone was at home, that she spent a large part of her time, dedicated time, reassuring parents who were going through this and not used to having children at home and having to make arrangements so that they could even be at home. And so are you also finding that you're in that position where you need to provide support to your parents, Kyle?
I think for sure that's been a huge portion of what we're doing, especially on the performing arts side of things, because it is a quote unquote non-traditional classroom for a lot of people. I spend a lot of the time that I have in conversations with parents going, no, this is okay. This is what they're supposed to be doing. They're keeping up with it. They're following exactly what they need to be doing. It's just going to take time. And especially when we start talking about the social emotional learning aspect of it, a lot of what I do in class on a daily basis focuses on social emotional learning, simply because it is singing. You are sharing that portion of yourself with the world, and that can be a very personal thing for a lot of students, whether they are school age students or adult students for that matter. It doesn't really matter. And so we do spend a lot of our time looking to parents and going, no, you just need to keep encouraging that aspect of what the learning is. As for the supports that I'm getting, my colleagues have already made a wonderful job of pointing out the support that we've been provided. I want to give a shout out to our IT department, our information technology heroes in this whole process, whether it was making sure that our learning management software was working correctly, making sure that the grading software was working correctly. Both of those things are huge aspects of not so much how we teach necessarily, but getting the information out to students and parents. And so I just want to give them a huge shout out in the IT department, because we wouldn't have been able to be in the situation we're in without them. And likewise on that same aspect, and also in collaboration with administration, just giving teachers that leeway to go, no, this is going to work for my students. Help me get the plugin I need for the learning management system. Or can I please use funds to purchase this program because it's going to help me connect with these students while they are remote? And so that's a huge aspect of what's going on within my performing arts classroom.
They're moving the possibilities for education forward as we are all working through it. It's impressive, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Nathan Erfuth, I want to hear your perspective on this, but as Kyle just pointed out, three other people have just addressed the same question. It's why I don't always ask everybody in the same order. Is there something that you'd like to add to all of this about the kind of support that you are getting within the district?
Yeah, definitely.
Go
definitely.
Ahead.
The district has actually done a fairly good job of, as everyone before me has spoken to, providing the resources that we need. It's been a tremendous lift. There have been, and I do a lot of the sort of informal on-site IT support for my building. I do a lot of answering questions and plugging things in and fixing broken stuff. And there's just so much of that going on right now. So there's that, but I do want to speak to a couple of the things that the union has done that are kind of invisible a lot of the time to a lot of people. The union has done a really good job of two things. One, it has pushed for filtration standards to be taken seriously. And that's something that the district was actually on top of. But without the relationship that we've established with facilities and with other people in the district office, we may not have known about some of that stuff. And so the union's done a pretty good job of communicating the successes and the positive improvements towards safety that we are getting implemented. So there's a loud group of individuals that's saying that the union is anti-opening school and we're dead set against having students back in the building and all of that. That simply isn't true.
We've been not from what I'm hearing.
No. We've been working this entire year to try to bring them back in a safe way. That's been the sticking point, is in a safe way. But as the weeks and months have progressed, we have, and the district also has, obtained more support. We have more materials. We have more masks available for students that need them, staff that need them, resources that are available for us in terms of, as Winter said, professional development. All of those things are starting to really come together. And so the support that they've also done really well on from the union angle is maintaining a specific message to the community that we want kids in school safely. Please help us do so. And the big thing there is fidelity to the plan. We have a plan right now for the AB schedule for grades 7 through 12 that is going to implement a bunch of these mitigation strategies correctly, and we need to make sure that we stick to that, and we need the community support to wear their masks and do the distancing and all of that so that we can safely have school in person for as long as possible.
Okay, and Nathan Erfurth, well, first of all, to everyone, I'm going to keep Nathan on the hook. Nathan, how would you improve your classroom experience when everyone returns? What are the things that are there suggestions that you have put forth, or just a plan you've made for yourself when you return?
Do you mean in terms of sticking to the mitigation plan, or do you mean once COVID's over? What type of
No, I don't mean once COVID's over. I mean when we return to class in the next 2 weeks.
So the improvements that I'm trying to make are obviously maximizing the distance between desks. So we've got the 6 feet between kids. But the thing that I really don't want to do is remove the classroom environment. The reason that a lot of kids like to be in school in person is because so many of us put so much effort into our environments. We know that a learning environment is just as important as what the person's saying a lot of the time. And so we're keeping a lot of the decorations. We're trying to enhance whatever we can. We do have flexible seating where that's possible, things of that nature. So trying to find a balance between, you know, the scientific sterility that true safety would have and, you know, total comfort, trying to find a balance between those two is really key.
And I do see teachers of my acquaintance just setting up frames like they are film directors. You're right. People are really getting into it. It's also good to hear that you are spending your time making that in-person experience as safe and engaging as possible. The next person I'll just go down the line. Kyle Schneider, what suggestions do you have or plans do you have for improving what's happening in your classroom in the next few weeks?
Well, you know, as I brought up at the beginning, the group of performing arts organizations that have been doing a study since March, they got together in March after the first instances of coronavirus being documented in China and in Germany, and they started their study then. And so we just received the third round of study results from them, and that's going to really dictate what my classrooms look like. To an extent, the biggest change is that aside from swing choir, which is my smallest ensemble, every ensemble will take place in the Mariner Theater or out in the Commons, likewise in the green room. The band, of course, is in the band room or in the green room or out in the Commons, just sort of depending, because of that 30-minute maximum time of performing.
Right. These are hard times for trumpet players.
They are. They are. And you know, all the wind players are playing with not just masks over their face, but masks over their horns. It doesn't matter. It still works the same way.
Wow. Okay. And so Winter Marshall Allen, I wanted to ask about your plans for the new year and improvements that you have suggested or are going to implement for yourself.
Well, everybody else is talking about in a couple weeks getting their full roster, or not their full roster, but their 50% capacity. And then our elementary kids will return to K-6 is 100%. But our vulnerables and our pre-K and our K go back Monday. So this is my 13th year returning to the classroom, and this is my fourth year at Homer High, like I said. And I'll be returning like I normally do, except for the fact that we got masks and face shields and lots of other PPE and gowns and things like that that we wear when we're providing our personal hygiene care for some of our students. It just looks different. Like we've got, you know, we've got the video camera with the light ring around it for the kids who are getting remote so that they don't have a casted shadow and that they can see what's happening. You know what I mean? Like the classroom just, it looks different. The aspect of inclusivity and diversity has been redefined in education, and we're going to continue to redefine it, and we're going to work that mitigation plan, and we're going to keep fidelity as much as possible. And where we can't, if we have to grieve it, we're going to grieve it. That's just where it's good. That's how we're going to keep everybody safe, and that's how we're going to provide face-to-face instruction. That's what I believe.
Thanks, Winter. And Kim Bates, I wanted to give you the last word on this one. What suggestions or ideas do you have for changes you might make when you go back to school?
Well, I have a couple of kiddos who they're hug monsters, I mean, at that age. And so it's going to be, I want them to come back, and I always have a welcoming classroom. It's always been something I've been very proud of, having that inclusive, welcoming classroom, and we're a family. And I just want to really go overboard with that, even though we can't physically hug and do that sort of thing. I want them to know they're safe. And I'm going to go above and beyond to make them know that they're safe, and they're going to have fun, and they're going to continue to learn. And wherever they're at, if they, you know, I don't want them to feel like, oh, I didn't do a lot while we were in remote, so I feel like I'm behind. I don't ever want them to feel that. Whatever they did was great, and we're going to start here, and we're going to all learn and move forward. And so keeping that positive mindset and that just community feel of kindness and mindset, even above and beyond what elementary kid teachers tend to always do, I just feel like I've got to really put an effort into making that bigger and better. And I know that my colleagues will do the same, and my administrators. So I'm very excited for them to come back, almost tearful with joy, and gonna miss the hugs, but we'll figure out another way to express our gratitude and our thankfulness.
And Kim, I forgot to ask you, at which school do you teach second grade?
I'm at Mountain View Elementary. So we're one of the, if not the largest elementary in the district. Okay. I think Reed Out and Cave Beach are really close, but we're large.
So everybody, it's time to wrap up, but I wanted to call upon each of you, if you would like a moment, if there's anything you came here to say that we really didn't bring up. I'll start with Nathan. Is there anything else that you'd like to add today?
Just briefly, I would love to thank the students and the parents and the, you know, staff and everybody else who has adapted through this. This has been incredibly difficult, and adaptation is the name of the game. So I really appreciate it, and I think that's what makes education successful in a normal year.
Thanks so much. Kyle Schneider, do you have anything you'd like to add on?
Kathleen, I just want to say thank you, much like Nathan just did, to all of our students, our staff, and our parents. It's been a challenging year, but the best part of this is to see how incredibly resilient and helpful and cooperative everyone has been. We're almost there, folks. Just keep doing what we're doing and keep going the way we need to go.
Thanks, Kyle Schneider. And Kim Bates, is there anything you'd like to add today?
Yes, and I agree with my colleagues that, yeah, parents, kiddos, you know, you've done a great job. But I also want to add in there, we've got some caregivers out there, the Boys and Girls Club and all the different caregiver organizations and businesses out there that have really stepped it up to make sure kids are in Zooms and doing their pencil paperwork. And even to the point where I've had caregivers come by the school and pick up packets and drop off packets. So all of you folks out there that have filled in for parents who are working and can't always be at home with their kids, thank you for that as well.
Thank you. And that's Kim Bates, teaching second grade at Mountain View. And Winter Marshall Allen, I wanted to give you the last word. And thank you for, when I reached out, being so willing to get the band together so we could all have a conversation.
Thank you again, Kathleen. Thank you to our parents and to our students, to our community partners, to our district administrators, to our in-house administration, to all of our teaching staff, to all of our support staff, to every classification who works to support our students. It really does take a village, and we all need to follow the three W's. We need to wash our hands, we need to wear our mask, we need to watch our distance, and we need to love on each other, guys. The school year is going to start in 2021, and this is going to be amazing. My son's going to finish his senior year, and I'm just going to count that blessing. Everybody has something to be thankful for, and this is something that we can be thankful for. Face-to-face instruction is so important to our community, and this is something that we have to offer. It's not quite perfect yet, but it's here, and the vaccines are here, and it's better than the remote and totally being remote. So I'm thankful for that.
And the thing to remember is that there is something that every single person can do who wants to support the district and the teachers and all the workers through the school system, and that's practice the mitigation measures to keep your distance, to wear your mask, to make this place healthy enough that people can, that kids can just go to school because it's time to go to school. So thank you all very much. I really appreciate your time.
Awesome.
And thanks to everybody.
Thank you.
My number is in that email thread. Please feel free to reach out to me anytime if you have anything that you want to suggest or any thoughts that you want to share. I'm always ready to hear them. So thanks, everybody. Let's call it.
Thank you, Kathleen. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening. This has been the Coffee Table or Kenai Conversation, depending upon where you're listening, for KBBI and KDLL. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Thanks to our guests, Winter Marshall Allen, Special Education and Intensive Needs Coordinator at Homer High School, Kim Bates, second grade teacher at Mountain View Elementary School in Kenai, Nathan Erfurth, history and government teacher at Soldotna High School, and Kyle Schneider, director of choral activities at Homer High School. You can hear this entire program at kbbi.org if you'd like to hear it again or share it. Thanks to all the teachers who participated today, and thanks for listening. You are tuned to listener-supported public radio. This is KDLL, Kenai Soldotna, 91.9 FM, and KBBI Homer, AM 890.
And that was Kathleen Gustafson at KBBI in Homer, speaking with Kenai Peninsula Borough School District educators as they prepare for students to return to in-person classes January 11th.